Hey, good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. It's December, and it is the time for rejoicing and lifting up the name of the King. And we're going to do our best. We're going to endeavor to try to do our best to do that with you all. So if you can, please stand, and we're going to invite you to sing with us this morning with one of the greats, Hark the Herald. Go.
addiction starts to break.
Dear Heavenly Father, we speak your name this morning. We say it verbally to one another in our worship because we want to lift you up and honor you today. We can be so stuck in our ways, in our thoughts, and evil things all over the world come and try to take our and steal our joy. But Father, this is Christmas time. And this should be a time where we just realize so clear that you love us so deeply, that you sent your Son, Jesus. Your name is life. And we hold and grasp onto that life. We pray this in your name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat.
Here's our candle lighter. Shalom. You may have heard that term, which is the Old Testament Hebrew word for peace. This morning we light the second Advent candle with the word peace fixed in our hearts. You know, just the flickering flame of a candle seems peaceful, doesn't it? Let's go to Bethlehem, which in Jesus' day is a small village. But it has a claim to fame in that David, the great king, was born there about 1,000 years earlier. And on this night, this usually sleepy little town is full as Joseph and Mary come slowly up the mountain. Mary perhaps already beginning labor, and Joseph desperate to find a peaceful place for her. But there was no peace that night in Bethlehem. People everywhere, animals, carts, soldiers, and the bustle of a tiny town filled to the brim for Caesar's tax census. Contrast that scene with that of the shepherds living in the fields that are surrounding Bethlehem. You might imagine Jackson for some event filled to capacity. But here, outside of town, in this little valley, our church sits almost cut off from the crowds and the noise. Maybe that's something of what it was like for the shepherds. Peaceful, quiet, seemingly alone, every star in the sky shining. And then, out of nowhere, an angel appears, announcing the birth of Jesus, and soon the whole sky is filled. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Luke chapter 2. As we reflect on God's peace this Advent season, may we all be reminded, each one of us, of our role to actively make peace as we await the fullness of God's shalom through the second advent of Jesus Christ. How can you, how can I help usher in God's peace this Christmas season? Advent is the perfect time to commit to pursuing peace in your life and the greater world around you as we look ahead to the time of the ultimate shalom. Let's pray together.
If you can, would you stand in humility before our King as we pray? You may remember these words from a beautiful old hymn. Let's pray. Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid this struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and striving cease. Hush my spirit into peace. You have bought me with your blood, opened wide the gates of God. Peace I ask, but peace will be, Lord, in being one with thee. Savior, at thy feet I fall, thou my life, my joy, my all. May your happy servant be one forevermore with thee. Father, you came to us in Bethlehem long ago to give us peace. Peace with yourself and peace with each other. Through this Advent season, bring us back to the manger and change us as we take in your indescribable gift. With your angels, we too want to proclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on whom his favor rests. Make us instruments of your peace. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Be seated.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, my prophet departs foretold. When with the ever-circling years comes round the age of woe, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors name, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Sing the last line. And the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing.
Amen.
Thank you. That was so beautiful. I hate to break the quiet we have, but kids are dismissed, and why don't you take some time to greet each other? My name is Sierra, and I get to give our announcements this morning. Welcome to Grace. If you are new or visiting, we would love to connect with you. In the seat in front of you, where the Bibles and their pockets tucked, there's connect cards. No pressure. We just want to know who you are. We want to put a name and an address so we can send you a note in the mail. If you want to turn that in our welcome counter, when you leave this morning, it's on the right-hand side, and we have a small gift for you, just a mug to remember us by, because we would like you to come back. So, busy season, December, always. I love coming. We just have Christmas cards, and I'm just gifts and things of the Christmas season. We're so thankful for this church family. Our Christmas banquet, our big family dinner, is this Friday night. Sign-ups are done, but Kathy tells me that if you didn't sign up or you're just here this week and you're like, I really want to go, there's probably a spot for you. So don't let that stop you. Give the office a call, and Andrea will be able to help find you a spot for that. If you're a hostess, don't forget. You are going to set your table up at the end of the week. If you have questions, call the office or Kathy. December newsletter, every month we put together a little newsletter with birthdays and anniversaries on the back and articles inside about what's happening around our church. And you can pick one of those up in the lobby as well. You don't want to miss that. Next Sunday, December 11th, is the Primetimers Luncheon. There's no cost to get in this time. If you're over the age of 55, you're just going to bring two dozen cookies as your entrance fee. You can sign up today in the lobby as well before you leave. Georgia will be at that table to help you. Don't forget, last week to sign up. Next week, we will be having one of our very special missionaries here, Kay Fox. We have supported Kay for many, many years and her mission in Thailand. She's preparing to go back there. Next week, she's going to be here. We're going to have a conversation together on the stage, pray over her, and we're going to take an offering specifically for Kay. So we wanted you guys to get a heads up on that. We're going to pass a plate specifically for Kay outside of our regular offering. You are always welcome to give at any time for missions. You would just mark that on your check or specifically in your giving app. Sisters Cookie Exchange was one of my favorite parts. We've been doing this for years. It's going to be at Sheila Hooper's house Sunday, December 18th at 6 p.m. You are going to sign up for that in the lobby as well on the right-hand side as our welcome counter. You're going to bring 6 dozen cookies, and you're going to take cookies home as well. It's a lot of fun. One year I just didn't have time to make cookies for my neighbors, so I took a lot of those cookies and put them on the plates and handed it out. My neighbor said, well, you were busy. You baked all these. And I just said, uh-huh. Yes. Merry Christmas. So great. So it's a fun time, ladies, if you'd like to come. And the Hooper's new house is lovely, so we would like to have you at that on December 18th. Here at Grace, we have three ways that you can give. You can give in the mail, you can give on our app, and then in the back there is an offering box just below the little sign that says Give Grace. You can give there as well on a Sunday morning. But however you give, would you do so humbly, and we thank you so much for helping us and keeping the beautiful Christmas decorations up and all the activities that we do. It's from you guys and how you give. Thank you so much. Would you pray with me? When we give, Lord, we're just giving back to you what you have given to us. Our time, our tithe, our talents, Lord, they all come from you. How could we not? How could we not offer it back to you? You are our King. Jesus, you are our uncommon King that we long for, your coming kingdom that we sing about. I thank you for this church, the beautiful Advent this morning by Randy and Kathy, Lord. I thank you for the humble hearts that meet this morning, greeting each other with songs and thanksgiving and prayers. We are a family, and you are our Heavenly Father. Would you bless the rest of this time and bless Pastor Matthew? In your name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand, and we got one more hymn for you.
What child is This morning I'll be reading out of Isaiah chapter 53 verses 1 through 6. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank you. You may be seated.
Move this here. Good morning, Grace. It is good to be here once again with you all. My name is Matthew Hooper, and it's my privilege to offer the message this morning periodically, about once every couple months or so. I have this great privilege to bring a message to you all, and I'm excited once again to bring this message to you today. We are in a series, an Advent series, called The Uncommon King, and I'm going to kind of add to this series in a unique way today, but first, I have something that I'd like you all to consider. Today, why are you fill in the blank? What comes to mind? What do you think I'm thinking? Anything? Anyone? Why are you here? You all are brilliant. Wow, you just read my mind. How did you do that? Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? I want to start this message by asking that question. To invite a little self-reflection, I think this is actually very important for us to consider, to think a little more deeply about, why am I here? why am I giving this Sunday morning to this time and space? So just think on that. Why am I here? Now, as I think about this question, why are we here? Why are all of us here? You know, two things come to mind. One is this, desire. I'm here because there's certain things that I desire. I desire to connect with God's people. I desire to hear from the Word. I desire to lift my voice and offer my presence to the Lord in worship. Wonderful, good desires. What do you desire this morning? If Jesus was sitting next to you this morning and he turned to you and he said, hey, what do you want me to do for you today? What do you want? What would be your answer? What might you say to him if you asked that question to him today? Jesus, what? How would you answer? What do you desire? What do you desire when you come to gather with God's people? Are you connected with that? It's easy in one sense to be kind of passive about that, not really think about it. We get into our habits, you know, coming on Sunday morning, gathering, sitting, singing. But we can almost live a little disconnected from our hearts sometimes and not be more clear as we come to gather. So I want to invite you once again, you know, why are you here? What do you desire this morning? But not only desire, I want us to think about need. What do you need? Now, the truth is some things that we desire or some things we need, we don't necessarily desire. We're like, I know I need that, but we're kind of conflicted with our desires, right? Like, I know I need to eat less of this, but I kind of don't want to. Okay, so I need to eat less chocolate, but I want to eat more. What am I going to do with that? But this is important to think about, because sometimes when we have conflicting desires, we can miss getting to what we really need. And so what do you need this morning? As you gather with God's people, as you're here for the first time, or you've been here, you know, hundreds of times, what do you need once again this morning? Consider that for a moment. And let me pray for us. I'm going to just pause for like 20 seconds of silence. What are you desiring? What do you need this morning? And then I'll pray, just inviting the Lord to meet us all here, right where we need it. So just take a moment to consider that for you today. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence once again here today. We turn to you and invite you to come in a unique way. I mean, you're always already here, and yet we still seek you. We desire you. We need your presence to show up here today and speak to us uniquely from the message you have for all of us today. And so I just ask for that, Lord. Would you meet us here in the message of this day? And I ask this, Father, through Christ and by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're in this series called The Uncommon King. Now today, as you can see by the title in your notes programs, you can take some notes if you'd like to. Today I want to talk about Jesus as the uncommon king, yes, but also the uncommon healer. The uncommon healer. When Jesus came, he came to bring healing that would restore our peace. That is why he came. And I want to talk about that today. Now, we learned from this the passage that was read. If you just glance at that again, I'm going to just read it over so you hear it again. Who has believed, this is a different actually translation than was read, I like that. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender root, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised. And he held them in low esteem. Now, when I read this verse, so many of the words come to me like, this is the one God sent, the arm of the Lord. This is the one who would come. And all of these descriptors, I'm like, it doesn't make sense. That's not kingly. It's so counter. The descriptions of the Lord, the coming, the arm of the Lord, the coming Savior, like, it's so counter. It's uncommon. It doesn't make sense. Let's keep reading. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. This is the king? Wow. The king was pierced and crushed. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, today I want to bring to our attention this unique, I hate it when the format adjusts and that little hymn is on the end there by itself. That should not be like that. But I have to let it go right now. Okay. So the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. I want to focus on this verse today. This is what I want to focus on, because this reveals to us this reality that Jesus, the coming king, the uncommon king, the child that was born, is the uncommon healer. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Punishment that brings peace. Wounds that bring healing. Jesus the King is the uncommon healer. And that is the message for today. Jesus the King is the uncommon healer. He's the healer. He wants to heal us. He came to heal us so that he could restore our peace. Peace and healing are all connected to Jesus. He is that uncommon healer. I want to talk about peace a little bit then. You know, Mark defined some terms last week. I want to define some things now. But first I want to just say just how connected it is, as Kathy and Randy so wonderfully led us in today. This verse here from Luke 2, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to all on whom his favor rests. This is why he came. He came to bring peace. He was referred to often as the Prince of Peace. So all who turn to him, all who seek to receive his favor, his grace, peace. He came to give us peace. So let's unpack this a little bit more. You know, a basic definition of peace, dictionary definition is this: freedom from disturbance, anxiety or distress, tranquility. Does anybody want a little more of that? Yeah, come on. That would be good. I would like that. A little more of that in my life, I will gladly receive that. A little more peace, a little less disturbance, anxiety, distress, a little more tranquility. Yes. Yes. That state happening on the inside, it's reasonable. That might lead to better relationships, right? Better things on the outside. Like the other part of the definition is this: a state or period in which there is no war or war has ended. So conflict is diminished, war, conflict. Now, if I'm more at peace within me, it's more likely that I'm going to be more at peace with you. That's possible, or more likely, I would say. And additionally, just relationships with family and outside of that, it's the more that we find peace, the more we're able to be an agent of that, or like Kathy mentioned, an instrument of peace. We're able to bring that to others. And that can move out into cities and ethnicities and nations. That would be good. We need peace. We need peace. Well, as Randy mentioned, you know, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And that comes from the root word shalom, which means to make something whole, which is defined as well-being or well and good health and the inward sense of completeness, wholeness, and tranquility. So it starts with you, but then it expands out to your relationships and to nations, to the world that was in chaos, now is ushered over time through God's providence and intervention through Christ, the King of Kings, the uncommon King and the uncommon Healer, to peace, to shalom. That's what we desire. That is why we're here, for peace. So, do you feel that? Is that why you're here? Do you want peace? Do you desire more peace? Do you long for more peace? Less disturbance, less stress, more wellness, more wholeness of being? Yes, I totally long for that. I need that. I desperately need it. I want that. Well, that's why we're here this morning. But before I get into that and the pathway to that, I want to rewind a little bit to part one, The Way of the Heart. I preached this in August, and if you didn't know this online, you can access all of Pastor Mark's or anyone else's sermons. You can access them online. They're batched together, so mine would be kind of, you look up my name, you'd see it there. I'm not overly trying to self-promote. I'm just saying if you want to look back to that, you can. But it's a great message, I will say that. But anyways, but The Way of the Heart, part one, I talked about this. Okay, so the guiding truth was from Proverbs, that above all else, guard your heart, for everything in life flows from it. And I talked about how I saw a video. It literally shocked my heart. And my heart got off rhythm, and my heart was kind of messed up, broken. And I actually had a moment where I believe God healed me. Like, I went forward praying, God, I need you to heal me. In the next 40 hours, I was healed. It was gone. And I actually just went back to the doctor. I finally got my monitor. I'm so glad I had an allergic reaction to the little sensors, which were right here and right here. I had an allergic reaction. It was like itching my body. Because I think I was thinking, I'm preaching this next Sunday, and if I have to wear that monitor, oh my goodness, they're going to think I'm having a heart attack and the ambulance is going to show up here because my monitor is going off. Because I always have, you know, a little, you know, heart palpitation, nervousness before I preach. But that's all gone now, so I'm not thankful for that. But I didn't have to wear that monitor, but I had to do that to just kind of finish the course of the care for my heart, because it was messed up, because I let something in that impacted me, and I need to guard my heart, and so do you, which I talked about three things. How do we guard our hearts? Three ways. You take responsibility. No one else has responsibility to guard your heart but you. It's your responsibility. It begins with you and then the layers of people outside of you to help you, but it's ultimately you. You have to take responsibility for that. But you're not alone. You got the Spirit. The Spirit wants to help you and me take responsibility and help us to guard our hearts. And also we have the Word. The Word that has, it's amazing that the Scriptures have over 2,000 years been passed down like they have been. Well, actually, before that, but with the Old Testament and the New, and just the consistency in the Scripture over time, because people care so much that this written revelation from God would be honored and protected, and that even with multiple translations, we'd keep getting back to, with the help of the Spirit, the truth over time. It's powerful if you do some research around the Scripture, just how almost, not perfectly, but how it's so well been preserved over the years. We need it, that external source, that kind of objective voice outside of us. It's one of the reasons why we gather to hear the Word every week, because we need it. We need to be reminded outside of our subjectivity, just me with the Spirit. It's very important, but we need the Word to keep helping us guard our hearts. Keep helping us, you know, be mindful of what's flowing into our hearts and out of our hearts. We need the Word. So that was the first thing. And in that, the first message, the first part of this, the way of the heart, how do you be a fully formed follower of Jesus? I talked about the heart and how the heart is the place in the Hebrew Scriptures where the mind, the will, the emotion, it all coalesce. And so there's the thought, the emotion, our choices, and our physical experience. It's all there. It's connected. It's all there in the heart. So it's who we are, ultimately, which makes it the most important part about us, which is why the Scriptures tell us to guard our hearts and why the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. All of who we are and what Jesus wants from us and what he called from his followers was their hearts. Their hearts. Now, there were three insights I talked about, and if this sounds repetitive, it is, because I want to keep reminding us of these things. It's intentional. Heart insights. Three things that we need to keep thinking about, to be reminded about, as to be fully committed, wholehearted followers of Jesus, that we're broken, we're sinful, we need the Lord every day, we need him, that we're being healed, and finally, that we are becoming holy. Well, today, in September, I talked about this, the fact that we are broken. And, this is driving me crazy. Isn't that so? Wait, it's perfect, actually. We are broken. Isn't it perfect? I actually planned this, okay? The formatting. Oh my gosh. Oh goodness. We are broken. Okay, so this is what I preached in September, and I'm tying these together, so you have to link to that. So if you weren't there, I'm helping you out. So the way of the heart, the way of the humble heart, is also the way of the broken heart. And what I challenged us to think about is to fly to our broken heart, or to fly to our brokenness. This is going to drive me crazy. I actually can fix this. Should I fix it or keep going? Keep going. Okay, I love it. Yes. Just embrace it, Matthew. Okay, all right. All right. So, I love it. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so to just fly to your brokenness, like the eagle flies towards its prey, down to the water, snatches that fish. Do you fly to your brokenness, or do you resist it? Do you step back? No, I don't. It's broken. No. Or do you fly like the eagle? Or do you chase after it like the cheetah? Chases after its prey. Like you're just, I got to get to my brokenness. I got to get to that. Do you do that? Now that's counterintuitive. You kind of don't think like, well, that's what we should do. And I'm saying, yes. Yes, that's what you should do. Or running after it like this great clip from Eric Little, Chariots of Fire. And I was going to show the clip again, but no, I'm not going to show the clip this week. So you could have to watch the sermon or look it up online. Eric Little, it's an amazing clip. He falls down, he gets up, he runs, he wins. It's amazing. He runs with vigor to win. And what I was calling us to think about is, are you flying towards your brokenness? Flying towards that. And I outlined it, these five ways: distraction, denial, deception, doubt, dividedness. I love this. It's perfect. Anyways, do all of those ways, and you might be thinking like, why are you talking so much about all these ways that we're broken? I'm done with it. Come on, move on. And I actually, remember I gave you all a kiss. It was the first time all the people here received a kiss. Now, it wasn't a literal kiss, like greet one another with a holy kiss, like Paul talks about in Corinthians. But no, it wasn't that. It was an actual chocolate kiss. And I was saying, hey, the truth is good for us. We need it, actually. We need the truth. We need the truth because if we don't get the truth, we might not get to grace. We need the truth to fly to our brokenness. And there's a lot working against us. And I talk about these barriers of fear, shame, and pride that we see in Genesis 3 after sin enters the world and enters humanity. There's these ways that we hide, that we cover, that we reject God. We push away from our brokenness, from what's true about us. we push away. And what I was calling us to then is to say, no, wait. No. Lean towards it. Don't let fear, shame, and pride especially control you like we learn about in this last verse. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. My way, on my own. That's at the heart of pride. Each of us has turned to that, so we need to address it with like real clarity and firmness. And thank God the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, because if he didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to receive the grace that he has to offer. I'm so glad for the grace of the Lord Jesus. We need it. We need grace. Grace in our brokenness. This is the best ever. I can't believe this. Okay. We do. We need it. So we need to fly to our brokenness. And I mentioned Psalm 51. That was David's psalm of response to after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And he killed Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. And he was called out and he was broken. And he humbled his heart. And I reminded us to be like David. Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions and cleanse me from my iniquities. Lord, have mercy on me. Humble your heart like David. Fly to your brokenness, because grace is awaiting you there. Grace is awaiting you there through Jesus, the great healer. So fly to your brokenness. Why do you fly? Because Jesus is there. And if you meet Jesus there, what's going to happen? You will be healed. Grace will come to you. Every time you fly to your brokenness and you humble your heart, you will be healed. That's what Jesus does. That's how he works. He's the healer, the great healer. And so, move this here. And so, with our brokenness, we fly to it. But as we come to healing, we kneel. We kneel. Now, I don't know about you, but when you all kneel, like I was going to ask everyone to kneel down, but I'm not, there's no way I'm doing that here. This concrete floor is really hard. It would be like 30 seconds. People would be like, okay, we're done with that. Okay, moving on. But kneeling is such a powerful image. So if we fly to our brokenness, what do we do when we come to Jesus? We kneel. We say, Jesus, we need you. We kneel. We humble our hearts. We're broken. Have mercy on me, O God. We kneel. And I don't know about you, but I feel this when I kneel down on a heart level, like physically, like it takes effort to kneel down. If I stay here for a long time, I'm going to feel it. And if I don't get up in the next 30 seconds, I might not get up for the rest of this message, actually. But but when we kneel, it's so powerful what that does in our hearts. When we bend our knee to the Lord and we kneel, Lord, I need you. We humble ourselves. Lord, I need you. Healing can come. So every day at some level, not maybe physically, but on a heart level, we should be seeking to kneel before the Lord. It made me think of this wonderful song from Psalm 50. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His care, or of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. That song came to mind. Now, it doesn't reference healing. But if you believe God's the maker, then I think you could probably also believe he can be the healer as well. I love this verse. Right before it, in Psalm 95, right before it talks about the greatness of God, the context. And so we come and we kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep under His care. If we come to Him, we fly to our brokenness and we come to Him, He will, and we kneel, He will heal. He will heal. Now, it may take some time. It may not be like that. It may not be in 48 hours like with my heart, or maybe it takes some time. But if you keep kneeling, He will continue to bring healing to you. He will. It's promised. And the power of the Maker is also the power behind the healer. So come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. So, you know, with the last one, with our brokenness, I talked about fly 51. Fly to Psalm 51. Well, in this one, we have kneel 95. Psalm 95. Okay, so fly to Psalm 51. You kneel in Psalm 95. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Jesus is our healer. That is who He is. He came to heal. And so we come to this second heart insight. First, we're broken. The second, we are being healed. We are being healed. That's who we are as fully committed followers of Jesus. Every day we're healing. Every day we're flying to our brokenness. Every day we're kneeling to receive healing. Every day. It doesn't get old. It's part of what we do. It's who we are. Because we're never not fully healed, right? So we're still in process. Every day we kneel. Why? So that we can receive more and more healing every single day. A little bit better every day. A little more like Jesus, if He were us, every day. So we fly to our brokenness and humble our hearts and we kneel so we can be healed or be being healed every single day. So how are you doing? How are you doing kneeling? Kneeling before Jesus. Because as we kneel before Him, we receive healing. And what's the fruit of healing? Peace. Peace. Things are brought back to restored, right? To how they were supposed to be. Which is what we're going to talk about right now for a little bit. Just healing, this idea. What is it? Definition, the restoration to a normal physical or mental condition. Healing, this simple medical definition, I looked it up. Restoration, bringing restoration to some part of us that's not as it should be. Restoring it. Physical, mental, restoration. The process of making or becoming sound or well again. So something's wounded. Healing is that process to make something well again. Simple. Yeah. Makes sense. So how are you doing? How are you doing engaging in that process? Restoration. Physically, mentally. Is it on your mind? Are you thinking about it every day? Because people who are fully formed, full-hearted followers of Jesus, we're going to be mindful of our brokenness every day, and we're going to be thinking about how can I be healed more and more every day. Every single day. It's part of who we are. It's part of the way of the heart as followers of Jesus, our hearts, paying attention to our hearts. So how are you dealing, kneeling before Jesus for healing that leads to peace? Now, as I was thinking about this, I wanted to connect it to that word shalom. Peace that we talked about in the beginning of the message. The restoration of shalom or peace. So healing in the kingdom, healing for Jesus is not simply physical, right? The restoration of a physical part of us. Oh no, it's way bigger than that. In fact, physical healing is very important, but big healing, is the restoration of shalom or peace to humankind. It's way beyond the body in the kingdom. The process of moving from dis-ease to ease, from brokenness to wholeness, us as individuals, us as a community, us, the kingdom in the world, healing, peace, shalom coming, wellness. Yes, I long for that. We need it. We so need it in ourselves, in our families, in our relationships, in our culture, in the world. We need shalom. We need peace. And so that means we desperately need healing to help us move from dis-ease to ease, from brokenness to wholeness. We need healing. And so as I was thinking about healing, I was thinking about these four categories: spiritual healing, emotional healing. You could use the word psychological there, but I'm going to focus on the emotional part because so many of us, especially in these holiday seasons, we're so aware of brokenness, of wounds, of losses, of broken relationships, lost relationships, of people who we care about who have passed. It's why we have grief share. And I want to focus on that emotional piece a little bit more, the emotional healing, because this is such a hard time. We're talking about Advent. Yes, Lord Jesus, come. So we have that going on. We want to experience the love, the joy, the peace. But we also have real dis-ease or discord in our hearts or grief or pain. It's like, there's no peace in that. It's just painful. And so I want to acknowledge that today in a particular way. Physical healing and then relational healing. So let's talk about these a little bit and we'll just get into the scriptures. Kneeling before Jesus for healing and peace. So how are you doing? Just think about that today in these areas: spiritual, emotional, physical, relational. How am I doing? Kneeling before Jesus. Let's talk about this first area, spiritual healing. You know, Jesus came, when he came, man, he's awesome. He came, he would say things like this: it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous, to not call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've come to call sinners. Jesus said this right after he called Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, the outcast to the Jewish people. He was hated. Talk about living in dis-ease as a Jew all the time, being a tax collector, having your fellow countrymen hating you all the time. Well, Jesus calls him. Because he knows, he sees Matthew, Levi, and he wants to follow Jesus. So Jesus calls him. And the Pharisees, the leaders, they criticize him. They criticize him. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Well, because Jesus came to heal. He came to heal. Spiritually, he came to heal. He did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I love that about Jesus. This is why he came. Above all else, he came to restore us spiritually. We see this in Romans 5. Let me read this to you all here. I'm going to have to kneel right now and put on my glasses. Because my glass, if I don't put on my glasses, I will not be able to read this because my vision is broken. So when I submit, when I kneel, my glasses bring healing to my sight so I can read this. Isn't that good? Did you like that little connection there? So those of you, how many of you have glasses? So every time you put on glasses, you can be acquainted. You have parts, you actually kneel every day in some very specific ways. because we long for peace. We want to be able to see clearly. Now, it's funny, when I put these on, you're all blurry. But do you hear what I'm saying? This is in us to kneel, actually. It's in us to submit. When we realize we do that and we need to heal, we need our vision to be restored so we can read. Because that's what we want. And so we get what we need so we can do what we want. So let me read this passage to you. Listen to this. This is amazing. From Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then I'm going to bounce to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, when we were broken, dead, powerless, the engine is broken. Christ died for the ungodly. When we were powerless, we could not do it. We couldn't restore ourselves to relationship with God the Father. We'd broken it. We'd gone our own way. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came to heal us spiritually, to make us a new creation. Amazing. Let me read one more verse from Ephesians. Just read this over you all so you can kind of just take this in. Just thank you, Lord, you came to heal us spiritually. And for so many of us, this is redundant. But for whatever it might look like for you to take this in a new and fresh way today, to kneel again to the truth, I want to encourage us to do that today. Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, who go their own way. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. God's wrath was upon us. Why? Because we turned away. We'd gone our own way. We like who like sheep who have gone astray. Boy, have we've gone astray. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Amen. So how are you doing with kneeling? Kneeling before Jesus once again, recognizing your deep need for spiritual healing. How are you doing? What would you say? Consider that just for a moment today. Can you recapture that this season? Are you connected to your brokenness enough so that you realize how much you need to kneel to receive once again the grace of the Lord? Secondly, healing, emotional healing. What does it look like, or what would it mean for you to kneel before Jesus in terms of emotional healing? And I'm talking, I want to focus here a little bit on when we're brokenhearted, when we feel deeply wounded inside us, how we've been sinned against, our own sin, our own failure, or loss that's come through suffering or through death. It made me think of Psalms 147. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Well, it starts with this. I'll read the full context. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles, those who are cast out of Jerusalem. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. I love those words. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. This is who God is. If you are suffering today, if you're struggling, what might it look like for you once again in this season to kneel? To kneel to receive the healing of the Lord. I'm not sure what that will look like for you. But I know Jesus wants us to come to Him. And He calls us to do that in Matthew 11 when He says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, you're weighted down, whatever that might be. It might be a grief in your life. Come to Me and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke." Kneel. Take My yoke upon you. Come shoulder up next to Me. For My yoke, I'm gentle and My yoke is gentle and I'm humble in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find peace, ease, rest. Jesus invites us to come to Him. So whatever that might look like for you in this season, to bring whatever emotional wound you are carrying right now to the Lord, I just want to call you to do that, to be a follower of Jesus who flies to their brokenness, but also kneels to be healed once again. Whatever that might look like. Now, I know for me, one way that looks for me, oops, oh boy, what did I just do? Oh, maybe I'll, hold on. I'm going to do this right here. Okay. Wait, that's not going to work. Okay, yes. Here we go. Thanks for your patience. If you are being patient. All right, here we go. Now it's going to actually work. I just fixed it. See, it took this moment to fix it. 147, there we go. James 5:16. I love this verse, James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. I know for me, when I bring my wounds to you, Jesus activates His healing power. Sometimes more than when I just try to do it with Him, come to Him in the Spirit. When I bring my wounds, when I confess my sins, maybe there's some healing, there's some emotional wounds that you've just kept on your own, and you need to bring them to others. I need to let you be Christ to me, and you need to let me be Christ to you. To be His hands and feet, to help bind you up where you need, to hold. That's why we do have grief share. We need one another to confess our wounds, to bring them, to speak them out loud, to be in the light with them. And I love this 1 John passage. You know, so confess your sins one another and pray for one another. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to heal us, to make us whole again. He will bring healing. He will bring healing. And sometimes, especially with emotional healing, we need to kneel to the Lord by bringing what we have, what we're struggling with, to others. So I want to invite you, what might it look like for you to be a follower of Jesus pursuing healing in this season? You're not just talking about Jesus being the Prince of Peace or coming to bring peace. You're doing that in an active way by bringing an area of your life that's broken and needs healing to Him and maybe to one other person. What would that look like? That would be you kneeling this holiday season to the Lord in pursuit of healing that leads to peace. What might that look like? I want to encourage us along those lines. Physical healing. Luke 4, 18 through 21 is that great passage from Isaiah where Jesus, you know, says why he came. He says why he came. Let me read it to you here. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's in the synagogue. He's reading the words of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Gotta kneel. Here we go. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. He sent me to heal, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he says that this scripture is revealed right now as I read it. Jesus came to heal. And if you look at after that in the Gospels, every chapter in Luke after that, except one, Jesus is healing someone physically. He's physically healing people. And then, I won't speak to Romans quite yet, but just this idea like, and then you look at all the Gospels, they're filled with Jesus healing people physically. So this is a reality. And we know from Acts, the study we did, Jesus kept healing people. And he continues to heal people. I think he healed me. And he can heal you. Now here's the hard thing about physical healing. How many of you have prayed for physical healing and God hasn't answered that prayer? Anyone? That he hasn't totally healed you? Like you've either not been healed or you just have had to hold your suffering. Yeah, on my hunches, a lot of people have prayed for, my kids are sick, I pray for them. They don't always heal, but I do pray for them. God might heal them. That would be amazing if he did. But so often with physical healing, God doesn't always answer that prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we don't pray it, but I do think it means we have perspective on that. Sometimes the healing work that God is doing is just way deeper than the physical. It's just deeper. And so if you pray, like Paul did three times, Lord, take this from me. If you pray and he doesn't do that, then embrace it. God's trying to do some other healing work. By not doing that, how might you find him? How might you kneel to him as the healer? Maybe it's more emotionally. Maybe it's more spiritually. Believing in him as the great healer. Then lastly here, I'll say in Romans, let me read this to you real quick. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So I do think, read there, like we have the Spirit in us. He will give life to our mortal bodies. He will strengthen us. He will take care of us. Now that doesn't mean if we make choices that are more counter to physical health, he's not going to just always intervene against that. But if we're seeking to be healthy, we know that the Spirit is going to be strengthening our bodies, especially as we kneel and we ask for the Lord to do that as much as he believes is good in his sovereignty to do. He will do that. He will do that. So how are you doing kneeling? Spiritually healing, emotionally healing, physically healing. How are you doing kneeling to the Lord as healer? Now, with this area, relationally, you're going to have to wait for the way of the heart, part 3B. Because there's some things I want to say here. There's more I have to say here. Because in my work with people, relational healing is actually one of the most difficult things that I have to navigate with people I work with in my profession all the time. And so I want to give a little more time to that next time. It'll be later in the new year, I think in February. but we're not going to talk about that here. But I will just say, if there is relational wounds and you need healing, I will just say this. If you kneel before the Lord and you really ask the Lord to lead you, what's the next step towards healing, He will do that. Now, here's what I will say. It might be hard. And maybe it's more true to say it most likely will be hard. Kneeling towards healing relationally can be very difficult. But I guarantee, if you do that, Jesus will meet you there. And the goal of all of this is to come to peace. But there's no healing that brings peace if there's no kneeling. You have to kneel. You have to move in a kind of an uncomfortable way. You have to be courageous. You have to share if there's shame. You have to be courageous to move against fear. You have to share if there's shame. You have to confess if there's pride. You have to humble yourself. There's no healing without kneeling. You have to kneel. So whatever that might look like for you in this season, to kneel 95, to kneel before the Lord, to kneel before Jesus, our uncommon healer. I'm going to invite the worship team up to lead us in a song just to kind of help us do that this morning. So I'm not sure what that will look like for you all to take this and make it your own. But I do know, it's been my experience, that there's no healing spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically, relationally, if there's not kneeling, if there's not the kind of the humbling, the surrendering, Lord, I need you to be the healer so that I can come to shalom, to peace. And so as we sing this song again, let's just take a moment to just ask the Lord, Lord, how would you want me to be pursuing healing more intentionally in this season? And what would kneeling to you look like to do that in this Advent, this coming of the Prince of Peace? So let's just take a moment and sing this song.
I just want to speak
Amen. Would you stand with me? There's no healing without kneeling. So whatever that looks like for you this season, I want to encourage you, because the great reward, the great end is peace. Shalom. And so let me say this blessing over you now. So now may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you all wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness. May he protect you through the storm. As you kneel, may he bring healing to you, to your hearts, to your bodies, to your relationships. And may he bring you home, home to places like this, home to one another, rejoicing in the wonders he's shown you, in the healing he brings. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. Amen, and may the peace of Christ go with you today.